Hello, Brandon.
Hello, Jake.
Thank you for joining us on this episode. And you guys seen it before. This is the Fresh Takes, Invincible Season 2 finale. Fresh Takes! Get your Fresh Takes here. Brandon, I have a question for you.
Shoot.
Do you think it's possible that there is a multiverse out there where there's evil versions of me and you talking about a TV show right now?
I'd like to think so.
What do you think me, the evil version of you, do after that? What nefarious schemes?
Nefarious schemes.
Are we
posting,
plotting,
posting spoilers to everything?
Yeah,
hanging out at a bar.
Yeah, that's a
spoiling the ends of books as people pick them up.
I just want to do that now. I just sounds
start
fun.
Looking at it, quickly look it up, see what the ending is, and just walk over and tell them.
What do you got there? You got the Invincible graphic novels. Did you know that Mark dies at the end? I'm trying to figure out how do we like translate this into the Invincible theme, but I'm blanking on it. So cue the music. Fresh Takes. Hello and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash Ketchum's Pikachu. We don't evolve, we just level up. And I'll be honest with you guys, I just was messing with you. That's not an actual spoiler. Maybe that happens, maybe it doesn't. Hi, Brandon.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing swell.
I feel like I already asked that question.
Yeah, well.
Ready to do the Fresh Takes review for Invincible Season 2?
Oh, I'm as fresh as it gets. I finished the episode about 15 minutes ago.
You're prepped and ready. Yep. I watched it twice. I took notes. I kind of took notes the second time. And yeah, I think I'm ready to go for this too. Oh. I think we're going to skip it. We're going to skip all the intros because this is just simply a Fresh Takes. Fresh Takes. Get your Fresh Takes here. Invincible. Should we get started?
Let's
episode 7. All right. Episode 7. I'm not going anywhere. Directed by Ian Abano and written by Simon. I'm sorry, guys. So I'm just going to read through kind of like the plot outline. We're just going to talk from there. Actually, what was your thoughts like moving forward after like episode 6? And I got to do like a fresh recap of like what happened exactly after
in episode 7.
Episode 6. Episode 6, because we're starting with episode 7.
Yeah. Episode 6. That was a little while ago. I'm trying to remember, too, how exactly it ended.
Wow, you're not starting off hot here.
No, you caught me off guard. I forgot that we didn't do episode 7 yet.
We did not do episode 7
yet.
I
was all ready for
it. So, that, I don't know. It's like a two-part finale like that we're kind of doing. Because we didn't do episode 7. So, we'll do episode 7 today as well as episode 8. And just like a quick recap. This episode starts off with Mark and Amber attending a comic convention. But he leaves in the middle of this. And I feel like this comic book convention is kind of interesting to start off with, because we have like very Thanos Zod character immediately going, I forget his name, Glarb or something. Very much like Zod, but has like the little Thanos chin.
Yeah. The iconic Thanos chin.
The icon, yeah. And then like throughout you see like all the Invincible costumes, like, oh, is that really what I look like? And they're like, we are. Do 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 do, you know, the actual theme song that starts. Yep. And then they get, you know, Amber and Mark, they're talking about how they barely get time to hang out. Mark loves comics, but he hardly ever gets time to actually read a comic. They find themselves in line, and Amber's like, wait, we're in a line? And they're like, oh yeah, of course. I feel like that's very like what a boyfriend would do in a comic book convention. Can't say I have done that or have not done it. Oh, I I can't say that you were there when we did it. Either way.
No comment.
They get in line to talk to Seance Dog. I'm so used to saying Science Dog, but Seance Dog or Seance Dog. Yeah. In the show it's Seance Dog, but in the comic it's Science Dog. And they ended up having a scene talking with the artist of the show and talking about how like animation and like choppy effects. What'd you think about that scene, Brandon?
That was pretty good. That was a good little fourth wall break. They're covering their mouths and stuff and just like narrating all this stuff as it's happening. I enjoyed that.
I looked up of what happened at the end of episode 6. It's not that simple. That's the episode with like Amber and Eve are kind of talking about the relationship, and then Alan ends up finding Omni-Man.
Yep.
So yeah, I thought it was so going back to the comic book scene or the fourth wall break, there is a scene or a moment in the comic where the guy's actually talking to like essentially Robert Kirkman himself, talking about like different like tricks that the like, comic book artists would use, and talking about how difficult it is to be like a comic book artist and like how long it takes to write so many different things and all the little tips and tricks. I thought it was like really cool that they did it too for like animation.
Yeah, kind of like upscaled it for the medium. Yeah, I had a feeling that it seemed like it was maybe like a gag from the comics, but obviously wouldn't be cartoons.
It was, and I'm pretty sure the voice who did it was Ryan Ottley.
Okay.
He was the not the original. Corey Walker was like the original like creator, but Ryan Ottley came on board and became like the artist towards the end of the series. He did. He also does a lot of like Spider-Man as well.
Okay.
So
speaking of Spider-Man,
Speaking of Spider-Man, Ryan. So yeah, Ryan Ottley did the voice there. And yeah, it was like, I just thought it was like a cool scene when I saw it. I was like, So, but yeah. So moving on, Mark has to ditch Amber at Comic Con. And like the funny thing about like him ditching Comic Con, did you see what he did?
Ooh, I don't quite remember off the top of my head here.
He like took his backpack and he like slipped an honor as he said goodbye. He's like, thank you for watching my stuff. And then flew on out. And I'm like, man. And she like, even, you're like, you're ditching me at Comic Con? It's like, yeah, that's like worse. Like ditching your date or ditching your date at like your event and then having her hold your stuff while you can go ditch her.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
It is. And like, I mean, it's like, I mean, Rex Bode would have died again if he wasn't there. But yeah, he goes to go save Rex because Eve called saying like, hey, Rex is in trouble. He's trying to fight this on the own. And then Rex is there. He's trying to like talk himself up. Like, you got this. And he looks and it's just this giant freaking squid in a massive body. What was your thoughts on this scene in Rex?
I feel like I've been enjoying Rex's story arc throughout the redemption and the, mm-hmm. I mean, he's definitely remade himself as a badass in my eyes.
He's so funny. Just like, cause like after like the Octoboss, I'm pretty sure his name is Octoboss too. I think that, like, that's his official villain name. That's but nice. After he starts like talking, he's like, I'm good at, he's like, oh, you should start talking sooner. This is a lot less scary, a lot more less intimidating the way you speak. And I love the line. He's like, I spent all this time learning your language. Of course, I'm not going to be perfect. And like, I love like that line because I feel like it's such a smart, nuanced like dialogue for the fact that like that's just like how foreigners speak in like different languages. Like it seems like they're not that intelligent, they're not that smart, but it's like, no, they just struggle with the language, because who wouldn't struggle with
another
learning
language.
A new language,
right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So continuing forth, Cecil Immortal wants to quit, or I think it translates to, sorry, what I'm reading is like not exactly how the episode goes.
You're
from
good.
What I remember.
I'm having trouble remembering, so it was like 2 weeks ago too. Should have watched it again before we did this.
Should have. I didn't like I did yesterday.
Yeah, I kind of like. But I don't like forgot that we didn't do episode 7.
Monster Girl is fighting Robot, and she's in the the giant monster. She's having difficulties adjusting. Robot's like, well, you have to, otherwise you can't use your powers. And it's just like this, you know, she's upset with them. She's like not feeling it. They just part. Immortal is in his office, or is in Cecil's office, and he's ready to quit. And Cecil's just like, nope, not happening. You're not quitting. You're not quitting Earth, or you're not quitting the Guardians because we need you. Puts him on a temporary vacation. Donald discovers that he dies multiple times, but before this, he quits. And I like the joke. Do you remember the joke that he said?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Just like after Donald's like, sir, I'm resigning. It's like, Jesus, like what's in the water these days? Or what's in the water today? Because it's like literally back to back, people are like resigning on him.
Okay, yeah, that tracks.
And then the same day, Rex is just like going out on his own to like, you know, essentially a suicide mission, trying to prove himself. And then Robot Rudy, promotes him back to his old job of leader, and then Black Samson and I believe Bulletproof, they ended up talking about how messed up their team is. And I think Samson has like this really good speech where he talks about how like at the end of the day, like it doesn't matter how messed up he is, because Bulletproof kind of talks about how like, oh, Monster Girl, like every time she ages, she gets younger, pretty soon she's going to be like, you know, not able to even function. Rudy is so focused. Like, he has all this power, but he ended up becoming vulnerable and trying to date essentially little girl or an adult girl. Like, he's trying to date Monster Girl. Mm. Immortal's essentially losing it. Black Samson's bald. That's like his, his excuse. You're bald. Brandon, as a fellow bald man, how'd you take that?
Bald guys are always catching strays. But it is what it is.
But yeah, I thought it was just like a good, like, interesting comparison. So I think about like the Boys, you know, I think about the Boys and like their superhero squad. I'm like, man, I don't know if this like works, this dialogue works, because like as viewers, we literally think of the Boys, which is also on Amazon Prime, and they're like a lot more fucked up.
Yeah,
as like a superhero team.
Yeah,
but But Black Sampin's like, back to his quote, he's just like, when we are together, we're like, we are strong when it matters the most. Because at the end of the day, we're the greatest like team of heroes on Earth. And I just thought I think it's just interesting, especially where this like episode goes. Anyway, so Donald, he doesn't quit. He gets shown that like he's died 39 times, or that's later revealed in the episode. Rick is having a hard time going through his metamorphosis. He's about to jump off the roof. And even like in the moment, he's like, I don't even think this would kill me. I think I have to go higher. And Donald's able to talk him off the ledge. Rex gives Invincible an out, which Invincible decides to take. And him and Amber go on an official date. And this is like... And before this, I know him and his mom talked about, and Debbie kind of revealed her own personal issues with dating Omni-Man. And just like now, like I think about it, like I think it'd be interesting dating a superhero, because I feel like that story often gets overlooked. Like we often like, it's like part of the story, but it's hardly ever like focused on. And I like that the show, and the comic does a little bit, but the show really focuses on Debbie.
Yeah, definitely a main character in the season.
Yeah, and I just want to like highlight, like I enjoy the fact that like she's just like, they focus on the fact that like, hey, even though she doesn't have superpowers, she still has to deal with the trauma of being like part of superhero life. You know, and it's not like the everyday to day villain. It's the like the bigger villains that she has to worry about on top of like whether or not Omni-Man comes home.
Right.
Or like her son comes home. So it's I feel like there's a lot more story that could be told there. So while on a date, Mark and Amber, they're no earplug, no costume, no nothing. They're going on a date. And out of nowhere, you hear the voice, Mark Grayson. And you see a Viltrumite is there right next to Amber, her hand like iron on her neck, saying, if you do not do what I say, I will rip her neck right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are you feeling in this moment, Brandon?
It went 0 to 100 real fast.
I love the music because it just went like you can just feel like everything's happy, everything's good, and just like I feel like if I was Amber, I wouldn't be terrified. I would just be more confused. But Mark would be absolutely just, you know, in shock.
He knows. He definitely knows what they're capable of.
So Anissa goes, or she makes a threat saying, hey, we need to talk. We need to talk about your place. If you do not talk, I will wipe everybody here. Mm-hmm. And Viltrumites are very much like, from what we've seen between Omni-Man and Anthraxis, like, I believe Thraxis, yeah, that's a planet.
Yeah.
It's a Thraxon.
Maybe it's Thraxa.
Thraxa. Thrax something.
Yeah.
So he goes up and they have a talk, or he gets the plug first in the costume, and she's just like, we're not here to battle, we're just here to talk. And I feel like she's making it clear, too, like, we're just here to talk.
Yeah.
And throughout this conversation... Brandon, what is your mind going through in this moment? Because I kind of know what's going to happen. I was like, okay,
yeah,
it's this scene. What was your thoughts?
I didn't think it was all going to come to a head right there, but it definitely was kind of seemed like one of those situations where it was, she pretty much had to like leave peacefully. Otherwise things would have went very bad. I don't know how it would have went down.
What was your thoughts on the fact that like they found out she's a lot stronger than Omni-Man?
That's scary.
Yeah. Like, I just seeing the panic, seeing like how real it was. Because in the comics, it's like, oh, okay, they're about to do a thing. But like, I knew there were so many comics left. But like, in the show, and I know what's happening, but like, just the intensity, if you didn't know, I'd be like, shh. Wait, what? Because that's what I loved about the story. Like, things change quickly. It can change on the dime. Robert Kirkman's always been really good at, like, you know, peace, sudden shock. Mm-hmm. Walking Dead, for example, is like literally trademarked this. So it's just the intensity of it. And then afterwards, she's like, hey, I'm just trying to get you on our side. You know, I'm trying to bring. Like, Earth is very much destroying itself. Humans are destroying Earth. Like, in 2 centuries, your planet will be barely able... Like, you're going to be able... Barely be able to survive on this planet in, like, 2 centuries. You guys need us. Very convincing argument, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, especially going through what we know now about today's world and stuff. It seems...
Yeah, and they... And I think they very much like real world this too. They made it more relatable for us.
Mm.
And I think like with that in mind, I don't know how I wouldn't like want to take that deal, or at least like talk it through.
Yeah.
If I didn't know more about Viltrumites.
Yeah. That's the thing is, you know, that they're, I mean, fascist, bloodthirsty killing machines.
I mean, do you see their Hitler mustaches? I mean, but yeah, she says she's disabled out the planet. Cecil makes a really cool move, getting him away from the city and like into essentially the ocean for another matter, facing a kaiju. That dang kaiju keeps coming back, or I don't even know where the kaiju come, but they're there.
Just hanging out, biding their time for the perfect opportunities to strike.
For the perfect opportunity. Vitzel comes. You can see he's stronger. He's doing pretty good at taking the kaiju, but like he's still getting his ass handed to him. And then Anissa's just like, all right, enough. And just kills it immediately. Yeah, Cecil's like, that's one way to defeat it. Like, just utterly showing how strong she is. Mm-hmm. They end up saving the ship. And she's just talking about how, like, she's trying to get him on the side. And Mark's just, he's kind of being dumb in this moment. Where he's, like, essentially kind of egging her on, saying, no, I'm not doing it. I'm going to resist you guys. Like, very much like picking a fight where Cecil's like, dude, just say you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Retreat. Like,
regroup.
And then the battle begins. And you could just know how, you see how fast Anissa is. Just, you know, essentially, it reminded me very Dragon Ball Z, like Super Saiyans. Like, that's what it reminded me of, like, how fast she was. Because, like, mm-hmm. one punch and she's able to, like, beat him before he's able to even get to his, like, spot in, like, in the air. And then she mentions that there is another that will be coming that will wipe the floor with you if you do not, if you continue to resist, and will make Earth suffer if they continue, if he continues to resist. And she flies off saying, like, this wasn't even part, supposed to be a mission. It was literally just a scouting to talk, like, essentially just a warning shot.
Yeah.
She flies away. What's your thoughts on all this?
The Viltrumite threat is real.
Yeah. I think what I love about this, because in the comics, Anissa's the first one to show up. And Anissa, I think, so you guys know in Invincible, if you are a casual, Brandon being the, not reading the comic, anyone who hasn't read the comic, I just consider you a casual. If you don't know who Anissa is, I'm just going to say, in the Invincible, like, fandom, comic book fandom, like, she's big to the lore of Invincible for reasons I am not going to say. And I don't think they're even going to be in the comic or in this show. I don't think they're going to go there. But all I'm going to say is, and this is important, she's a big character. And not in the ways that you think she is. So I was excited to see her. Because she's a big, big character. But yes, it very much, she, like, the Viltrumite threat is real. It is here. She went to Earth. And it hints at more fun things to come. Quotation marks of fun.
Yeah.
Fun for us.
Right. Fun to watch. Sometimes.
So Mark comes back. Amber's in shock and basically just says, I can't do this. Like, I cannot be a part of this world. And just like that, they're done. Mm-hmm. And I also forgot to mention, too, he talks to the dean of the college, who happens to be the dean in the high school. There's a bunch of other backstory, too, about how, like, the, I think the voice actor and the character, like, they're mentioned a lot of times throughout, like, as a, look it up on Google, and there's, like, a bunch, I forget exactly what the reference is. I think the actor is, like, the name of the school. There's a bunch of nods there.
Okay.
But the scene is a little bit better in the comics because, like, the dean of a high school has a little bit more of a relationship, where in the show they just don't have time for it. But he basically says, like, I know what happened. I would have expelled you already, or I would have suspended you already. But I know what happened with your dad. And I don't know what you're going through, but pick a lane. If you're going to be here, be here. Commit. If you're not going to be here, commit to something else. And in the comics, is like this. Basically, was like the moment where Mark kind of decided, like, school just isn't it for him anymore. And the show was this too, but I feel like it didn't, like, hint at it too much. So Amber and Mark are over. What's your thoughts on that whole relationship?
I mean, it was doomed from the beginning, right?
High school.
It's such a complicated
thing.
It was
a
recipe for disaster.
I mean, it was, I feel like it's like a lot of people's first love relationship. You know, it's that relationship of, like, hey, we like each other. We're going to try to make it work because we like each other. But then once you get a little bit older, you realize that, like, you're just on two different paths.
Yep.
Like, Amber is, she is the modern college girl, simple, like, city girl. Like, that's her, that's her world. She is essentially like what me and you are in that sense, whereas like Invincible Superman,
right, his life is a whole lot,
like,
more.
he
complicated.
Well, not just like life as a superhero. It's not like he's Spider-Man. He's Superman. Like, he is Earth's defender. Yep. He's number becoming one. That role. Like, he doesn't even get a day off anymore. Because, like, Cecil's like, yeah, you, those 2 nights a week that you asked for, not doing it. Like,
yep,
not happening.
If we need you, we need you kind of thing.
Yeah, basically. And, like, they need him. Mm. And I think just, this isn't dissing Amber in any sense. And I know there's a lot of people who, I've seen a lot of, like, hate Amber videos out there, especially if, like, season one, like, I knew you're a superhero all along, but I'm still going to give you grief. Like, yeah, it's kind of shitty on her part. But also, like, she's a high school girl.
Yeah.
Like, she kind of wants to have a boyfriend to have a boyfriend.
Right.
Even though if it's understandable. And I think in this moment, like, I understand her. But she's no Lois Lane.
Right.
You know, she isn't that person. Where Debbie is.
It was.
So. No, it still is.
Yeah.
Like, in the sense that, like, I mean, she's, you know, mentoring Mark, and she's also raising Nolan's son.
Yeah.
I'd say she is. In a sense. So, moving forward, we go to Alan getting caught by the Viltrumites, Anissa specifically. And as him and Alan are moving over, or is this in episode 8?
No, this was seven.
Yeah. Alan and Nolan, they're walking past, and basically, you know, Nolan knows him because he's fought him several times. Like, hey.
Maybe I was thinking of 8. Yeah. I thought you were talking about it. Yeah, that was the beginning of 8.
Okay. Well, this is, I know Omni-Man was fighting in the prison and essentially set up for execution.
Yep.
So, at the end of the episode, Mark gets a call by Angstrom saying, hello, Mark. You should come by. Because he has Debbie and Oliver hostage. And that's probably how we left it. And I think we left it here. But then afterwards, this is where Nolan and Alan talk, I believe. And that's the end of the episode.
Maybe they make some contact. I know they talk again in the beginning of episode 8. They walk past each other in the hallway and he starts telepathically.
Okay, right.
I know that for sure happens in 8. But there might have been a scene with it at the end of 7.
Okay. What was your thoughts at the end of 7? Like, Angstrom's back and he has Debbie and Oliver. Were you ready for this moment? Were you ready for...
I mean, I knew something had to kick off. I mean, they definitely were, like, teasing out the Viltrumites a lot, but I think that they just wanted to kind of build up the burn a little bit more, obviously, before more stuff happens there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was explosive.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on the Angstrom, like, lead-in? Were you ready for what was to come?
I mean, I figured somebody had to be... I mean, something had to happen. I mean, we're setting up for the season finale here. And, I mean, they were kind of teasing it a little bit, right, having the Viltrumites come. But, I mean, not to mention the fact that you were pretty certain that there was going to be this confrontation in this episode. So, I was kind of ready for it.
I mean, she was in the trailer.
Yeah.
And we were teasing Angstrom. All right, so episode 8, I thought you were stronger.
Yep.
Which, that title does not hit until you watch the episode.
Yep.
I totally thought you were stronger.
Yep. Yeah.
This episode was written by Robert Kirkman, directed by Tanner Johnson. So, Mark returns home to confront Angstrom as he threatens Debbie and Oliver. And Mark several times tries to go after Angstrom physically. Angstrom's ready for this. And he sends him through multiple universes. That's like red brain. Multiple universes in attempt to weaken him. And he sends him to several universes with like a lot of like hints. First one was dinosaurs that eat humans.
Yep.
I just thought it was funny. But like, a human? And they're just like,
All surprised he could talk and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think they were smart enough to speak. Then he goes to a really familiar looking universe where he's greeted by, I think, Professor Octopus.
Yeah, he smashes through him coming through the portal. Yep. Prof Oc.
And then there is Agent Spider, voiced by the guy who did Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yep.
And he's just like, look, man, he's the bad guy. I'm easily the good guy here. And like, but you're wearing, your eyes are red.
Yeah. And he even makes a mention. He's like, I've dealt with the multiverse plenty of times. He's like, I know you're from a different dimension.
And for, have you heard about this scene at all?
No.
Did you know this was supposed to be Spider-Man?
Well, I guess. I mean, he's shooting webs and Professor Octopus.
So in the comics, he actually goes to Marvel Universe. Like, that was legitimately a thing that happens. So he in the actual comic itself, it just looks like a spider. Like, it's a reference to Spider-Man, very much like this show is. But in the Marvel comic, he actually teams up with Spider-Man. So there is a Marvel comic out there with Invincible and Spider-Man fighting together. Robert Kirkman used to work for Marvel. He's actually the one who wrote Marvel Zombies.
Okay. I think I knew that. That tracks with The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, like, Robert Kirkman, like, they talked about this scene in particular. Like, yeah, obviously we cannot get Spider-Man for, like, the exact reasons of, like, how much copyrights and how much... Like, just, like, the amount of red tape to get Spider-Man, even like, yeah, and the amount of money it would cost,
especially now.
So I just like that they hinted at it, like, we did Agent Spider, we got an old Spider-Man.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty obvious what they were going for there. I appreciate it.
I do too. And then at one point there was a Batman. He's like, look, yeah, man,
that was like straight up Batman
too. Like, like, you're a bat, like, you're a man called Batman. That's just lazy.
Yeah, he didn't say his name, but yeah.
I just like that's in the comics too, and I'm just like, yes, I love that joke. It's just fun, like, because like, from his perspective, like, his name's Invincible, he had to think about it. You're like, you're just, that's just, you didn't think about it even, like,
yeah, I'm Batman.
I just thought it's a good reference. There's a couple other scenes too. I know there is the Walking Dead scene that he travels through. But they're all, except it's not exactly Walking Dead, because they're all like, meat.
Yeah.
Meat. You know what that reminded me of?
What's that?
It reminded me of Orr's Luffy.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Me. Like, that's just what it was, just like, they're just all a bunch of Luffies, but they're zombies.
Yeah.
And then, one last note about, like, where he went. The campfire scene, I thought was hilarious. Because, like, could you imagine camping and then some dude just in a superhero outfit just comes up and just starts rambling on how he's traveling the multiverse?
Yeah.
And you're just like, uh-huh. Uh-huh. So this guy with the giant brain is making you go through all these, universes, and you're stuck. Okay. Like, yeah. And then just like out of nowhere, he gets like, teleported out there. I just been like, what the?
Did we
eat a mushroom? Who fed us mushrooms? Like, that's what I would be thinking. I just thought it was like funny from like their perspective. It'd be pretty hilarious. And then one last note, and even though I said one last note, I'm pretty sure the last universe, not the one that he was stuck in, but the one prior to that was Mad Max. Pretty sure
I got that vibe.
So but yeah, so like, he's essentially just threatening Mark, threatening Debbie, threatening the kid. At one point breaks Debbie's arm,
snaps it.
Oliver is fine. He like grabs Oliver by the leg, and I'm like, holy shit, like,
he's a tough baby.
What's your thoughts on this scene?
It was intense. I did think it was kind of ironic, though, like, one note, that he specifically found a dimension that was 8 stories lower for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, out of all the ways, like, I feel like he probably could have thought of something better than just like a drop to their death. Like, you could have put him on some planet that was just worse. That could have been more creative. That was my only complaint.
You could have. I think he can't change the location. I think he can only change the universe. So, like, I think that's the one thing about his powers that aren't really mentioned, is he can't actually change the location where you're on the planet. He can only change the universe.
There's got to be some universe that's just all molten lava, though.
You'd think. I feel like it was just kind of an empty threat, but yeah, it was like, oh, they get the drop eight stories. Okay. I mean, like, for them, I guess Debbie would have been fine.
Yeah.
The baby Over, maybe. 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 But yeah, at one point, he's like swinging Oliver around, and this scene, because I remember the scene in the comics, and for me in the comics, it was like a big moment, but it wasn't like, it didn't feel this intense, because like, you know, on paper, you can only do the intensity so much. And that's how I felt about like the last season one finale, like on comics, like in the comics, like it was intense, but it wasn't like this intense.
Right. Seeing it live.
Whereas this, yeah, like seeing it live, seeing the animation, seeing the voice, like hearing the voices, it was a much more intense scene. And especially from like an empathetic standpoint of like Mark's going through it. Like his mom and his brother could die in an instant.
Yep.
And like he really didn't have control. He just punches. And if you can't get to your location.
Yep. Not a whole lot he can do.
So no. And like, I feel like Angstrom Levy, like he's one of those villains that was just kind of teased up as like, oh, Mark can handle. I mean, like he can just teleport. Like that's not that bad, but you realize how devastating it can be.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's like one of the craziest powers you could have, especially not just like teleporting, but like multiversal between dimensions.
And just like how deadly. And then it was revealed. So like Mark kind of like pops up. And he's just battered. He's bruised. He's the last scene like is shown of him fighting like a bunch of bunch of people, and it kind of seems like there was a lot of stuff cut there, but the point was like he's been fighting for a while.
Yep.
Do you feel like did this translate well for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where of course like they probably could have spent a lot more, like a whole episode, going through that stuff, and it would have been good. But I think they did a good job, especially like towards the end with like the faster cuts and stuff like that, showing the dimensions, just kind of to really emphasize how much different places and how much time he spent there.
I thought the scene of him just like in the campfire scene, just explaining that like he has no idea how long it's been. I thought it was like in really like the most important dialogue. Cause I feel like it kind of like says to the audience like, hey, like it's, for him, it's like it could be days or if not years. Probably days, maybe not years. So we get to the scene. Angstrom Levy kind of makes his reveal that like, hey, I'm not here to like have other people kill you. Like I'm stronger too. I'm trying to kill you myself. And we get the multiverse like dimension battle scene. Very much remind me of Multiverse. Doctor Strange, where they're like going through the multiverses, and
a lot cooler in this show though.
Yeah. Mark Grayson gets the advantage. He's able to beat Angstrom Levy to the teleportation and just starts wailing at him. And he makes the mention like, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how much I've been holding back. And it appears that he kills Angstrom Levy.
Quite a bit of blood.
And he then freaks out that he killed him with the thought, or with saying, I thought you were stronger. What's your thoughts on this scene?
I mean, it was intense. I almost feel like, in a way, Levy got like the last laugh, because if he did kill him, because that was kind of like his whole thing was that he's trying to prove that he's a monster and stuff. And I mean, even though he like, you know, it was very much like a Joker Batman kind of situation where it was like pushed to the absolute brink. And like he said, you know, I thought he was stronger. You know, was he, did he intentionally lead him on like that kind of thing to make him think that mm-hmm. way? Mm-hmm. Or did he really think that he had a shot to kill him?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. There's something I want to mention because I thought of this last night, the second time I watched it. Didn't really think about this first time. But you remember in the mid-season finale where he's fighting on Thraxton or Thraxus and he's fighting the Viltrumites and he's getting his ass handed to him. You remember what his father said to him?
Not off the top of my head. I don't remember exactly.
Stop fighting like you're on Earth. These people are trying to kill you. If you don't try to kill them back, we will both be dead.
Yep. Yep. Now I remember. Yeah.
That thought. And I thought this was, I didn't think about this until I watched it the second time, because in the line, he's like, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how much I'm holding back. Mm-hmm. And you written like in the, going back to the midseason finale, he didn't start fighting well until he started trying to kill the other person. And so he started like essentially letting loose and not worrying about the damage, the collateral damage he will be causing with his power. And I feel like in this moment, killing Angstrom Levy was Mark Grayson fully accepting his Viltrumite powers. It's him accepting the Viltrumite way of just fighting all out. Not because he wants to, because he feels like he has to. And I will say, it is explored in the comics. And I believe they will explore it in season 3.
Yeah.
And in a very unique way. Like, the whole idea of, like, killing, not killing is something that Robert Kirkman does write about in the comics. And I think it's a very nuanced dialogue of, like, what's right, what's wrong. So I'm excited. It's like, I'm just watching. I'm like, oh, this is the first step into, like, that discussion.
Okay.
So, but yeah, he gets stranded on a random multiverse. He's talking about how he's, like, running the scenario through his head. He's trying to, he's coping, right? Yeah. He's
trying to make,
there is a break happen. Yeah, he's coping. He's talking through. We don't really get a sense of, like, how long he's on there. In the comics, it seems like a lot longer than in the show, if I remember correctly. Then out of nowhere, a green portal shows up.
Yeah, a curious green portal.
A curious green portal, and the Guardians of the Globe show up. But it's not the Guardians of the Globe that Mark knows. It's Guardians of the Globe that appear to be a lot older.
Yeah, I think they said like 20 years.
20 years. And they send them back saying, hey, you did come back, but you wouldn't like who you are, and you wouldn't like what happened. So here you are. We're here to send you home. What are your thoughts on that? Oh, actually, hold on. Let me end it, and then I'll...
Okay.
Before he leaves, Adam Eve approaches him saying, I love you, Mark. Well, I don't love you, but my version of me loves you. Go tell her, go talk to her. Tell her how you feel. Tell her if you love her back or tell her you don't. Just tell her so she can move on. And that's that. He goes through the green portal. Robot takes off his helmet
and it's Rex
and it's Rex. And she says, back off, Rex. Scene ends.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
It's an interesting way to resolve the situation. I almost wish that once again, it's a limitation of the medium, I'm sure, but I wish we would have got more time to kind of make it feel like you really felt like he was stranded. Cause it did seem like he was immediately picked up. But he did also kind of make a point about that, that he's like, it literally just happened. You know, he even said that. So curious about that portal was very similar to the portals that Levy uses, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Also note, very much looks like Rick and Morty.
Yeah, yeah, very much. Yeah.
I put that in my notes. I'm like, Rick and Morty portals? Very much looks like it. To be fair. Robert Kirkman had green portals before Rick and Morty did. So
maybe they stole it from them.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, the Adam Eve thing, I mean, that tracked, although it was kind of sudden that I got forced, dumped on him like yeah. that. Yeah. But, I mean, it did track, I guess.
Well, it's weird because it's like, that's how Adam Eve feels about him. Like, yeah. we see that throughout season two and a little bit in season one as well. It's interesting because, like, in the comic, it was that rushed. You know, the story did feel that rush. At least, like, the initial, like, hey, I love you. And he's just like, oh. And then, like, things happen later on in the comic. Whereas in the show, it also felt really rushed. It was like, oh.
Yeah. I mean,
Adam Eve romance.
To her, it's been 20 years that she's been waiting to say that.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense narratively, but I'm just saying from, like, our perspective.
Yeah. I mean, he did just break up with Amber in literally the last episode.
Literally, like, a day. Maybe not even a day.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, Adam Eve is somebody that, like, isn't Amber. Like, she's a peer.
Right.
She's in that world. So he goes back. Cecil media is like, Mark, you're here? Come here. Cecil finds Debbie. Mm-hmm. And we kind of get, like, kind of after that, kind of like a mirage, or not a mirage. Kind of like a recap. Like, now we're in, like, the epilogue. Mm. So I'm trying to, like, read up to it because I'm blanking a little bit.
We did kind of skip over the part with Levy when
yes.
Mark says,
"Ooh, I think
yeah." When Mark tells him that, like, "You saved me. You were a good guy. Like, why are you doing
this?" Yes,
like,
yes.
And he kind of goes on a mental break, and we see all these visions of the horrible things that Invincible has done to him and all of these other universes, just murdering people.
Dude, it is okay, you share your thoughts first, cause I'm happy you brought this up, and I would have been sad if we forgot about this.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to not feel bad for Levy. It's hard to not, like, kind of sympathize with him. Obviously, it's hard. I mean, mm-hmm. it's easier because we know that, like, the Mark, the Invincible he's going after, isn't the same person as all of these other mm-hmm. ones. But when you see things through his eyes and, like, what he's experienced, and the fact that, like, he's got memories of all of those experiences, of all that has happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to fault the guy for being so broken.
So there's one big difference, and I don't know if they're going to change this later on in the show, but right now there's, like, one big difference between the comic book and the show. So in the comic book, Art Engstrom Levy, he's very much the personality of that version of Engstrom Levy. He has all the memories, but he doesn't have the personality, right? He's still crazy. He's still hinge, but, like, it's more treated as he's, like, the one person, right? Mm. Whereas in the show, he's more of an amalgamation of, like, all the memories of all the emotions. And it's not a big difference. It's just a slight difference. Mm-hmm. But you really feel like it's an amalgamation. Like, he experienced, not just has the memory of it, he's experienced all of those deaths. And I thought, it was, like, tragic. And I, like, Invincible, so I wrote a couple thoughts too on it.
You wrote stuff down and you still forgot to mention it?
Yeah.
Fair.
So one, Brightburn on a global scale would be fucking, like, horrifying. So that's what, like, this reminded me of is Brightburn, right?
Yeah.
Evil Superman. Like, it'd be just terrifying because you'd be almost powerless. Oh, like, imagine
not safe anywhere.
Like, I would be not even traumatized. The thought of, like, a Superman coming in, blowing up my house, seeing my kid, and, like, oh, well, you know what? I'll do you a favor. I'll kill your kid quickly in front of you.
Yep.
Like, that's just, like, horrifying. So, like, one, I'm like, and there's news that James Gunn, like, Brightburn is no longer going to be a thing. There's no sequel. But, man, Brightburn on a global scale would be horrifying, and they really need to make a movie. Not just, like, maybe not Brightburn, but something like that.
Adult Evil Superman.
It would be...
Yeah. Give us, I mean, even just, like, give us, like, a Red Sun Superman or something like that.
Yeah.
Some injustice.
Not stuff. Even... Not even Superman. Just give us like a being that powerful. But yeah, moving on. I will say Invincible's such a cringy villain.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't feel like a villain. He's just doing horrible things. Like
it's just doing horrible things, telling like horrible jokes. Like it's like if Spider-Man was a villain, because Invincible's a lot like Spider-Man in that regards, and that's why like there was that like reference in this episode. But he's essentially like Spider-Man. Like imagine like Spider-Man doing bad things, evil things to people, and he's just cracking jokes at the same time, and they're not even good jokes. Like that's Invincible.
Just corny, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what's worse. The fact that like he's going to tell you a corny joke as he slaughters you, or the fact that he's slaughtering you.
Yep.
Or just like the execution where he's just simply going like this.
Oh, yeah. Just in a row. Just killing people in a row. Yeah, that was intense. Execution style.
Yeah. And also that in that memory, that Angstrom survived somehow. That was interesting. Like,
well, I feel like all of them did, right? Otherwise, he wouldn't have the memories. I feel like they were all, I assume that was like the moment before they were taken out or like zapped out of the dimension.
Oh, right.
Like could right be. Before then. Yeah, that's the only way that explains how they all survived, because they were all like right about to die.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's terrifying. And I agree with you. Like, he's a very, like, you can empathize with him. Like, you understand like his pain, what he's going through. And it's like, it's hard to fault him, but at the same time, like, you're also just like threatening to kill his child.
Yeah.
Or his brother. You're also threatening, like, you broke his arm, like, broke her arm. You're trying to kill him. And it makes sense why you're trying to kill him, but like, he's just a sick man.
Yep. Yeah.
Sick man that, like, no one's really going to be able to help him. Speaking of, like, dying. The Immortal goes back to his home, discovers the original Multicate is alive and well. And we see a little traumatized. She's so sick of dying that she wanted to make sure her original person has never been killed.
Yeah. Well, I think she said, yeah, that she's always been, it's always been her copies going out and not her.
It's such an interesting story. I'm excited to see Immortal and like Duplicate in the future, like what they're doing. They go back to the tomb of Kahur from the first season.
Yeah, totally. I
did too. And he's like, "Oh, I'm going back. I will. Oh, wait, you're women. I can't inhabit you." And just immediately get buried again.
Yep.
At the urging of her future self, Mark meets with Eve, but isn't able to like admit that he's also has feelings for her. He just is there with her. She says, "Hey, I have a shoulder to cry on. Two shoulders." And he just puts his head down, and that's kind of the end of the story for season two. Kind of just like hinting at, "Hey, there's something here. There's something here." As I'm holding up Invincible and adding Eve Pop. What was your thoughts on like that ending for Mark and like what that means for the future?
I don't want to say that I felt like that was going to happen. That they were going to end up together. I mean, it's kind of been hinting at it, I feel like, for a while.
Yeah.
It's definitely seemed like they're more fit for each other than the other options.
Yeah. And I don't want to say more because it spoils the rest of the future, but I'm excited just to see how that relationship unfolds.
Okay.
Because in the comics it's a good relationship. I can't say more without like actually spoiling it.
Okay.
So the last little bit, Alan is sent to Viltrumite prison where Nolan is being held. They fight. Nolan reveals that he's guilty, that he feels bad for his actions, he cares about lesser beings. And he's just like, he talks about it like in a bad way. And Alan's just like, you talk about this like it's a bad thing. Like, dude, you're like every other species that's not a Viltrumite.
Yep. It's like conscious.
Yeah. And the last thing he says is, "I miss my wife."
Yep.
And ends. Thoughts?
I'm excited. it sounds like they're going to be making a Prison Break.
Mm-hmm.
Excited for Omni-Man to return to Earth and to see how all that plays out.
You know what my wife said? You know what Sapphire said at the end of that episode? Like, right as it ends?
What's that?
She's like, really? They're going to get back together after everything he did? And I'm just like... And she's like, give me answers. She's like me. She likes spoilers. She's like, do they get back together? I'm not going to say here and there, but I didn't even say anything. I'm just like... like, I don't... Like, I'll tell you more, but I'm not gonna tell you guys more. But yeah, like it's a good story. It's an interesting story to be told. I can't say anymore without ruining it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and maybe we'll have like a spoiler section. So
no,
moving forward, no spoilers.
I don't want spoilers.
That's fair. Okay. I'm trying to figure out if there's any notes in here that I should bring up. I think I got everything. Oh, Monster Girl is being a dick to Rudy.
Oh yeah, but they reconciled in episode 8.
They do. I just think it's that, like,
she admits that she actually would really appreciate if you could help her. She just doesn't want to talk about it all the time.
Yeah, and like I really like Rudy's like dialogue here, because I thought it was like a really healthy dialogue. Like, hey, like, I'm new to this. Like, I don't know what it's like to talk to people. I don't know what it's like to be in a relationship. Like, you have a problem. I fix problems. I'm just doing what I do. And it was just, I like just seeing good examples of like healthy relationships.
Yeah.
And
instead of everything being so like, toxic and stuff all the time.
Yeah. It's just like two people having like a very breakthrough conversation and just being open about everything. And it's just, it's cool to see. Though Monster Girl was being a toxic dick beforehand.
Yeah,
she was.
Yeah.
And then yeah, Kate's power is just really traumatic, because she like Angstrom Levy has the memories of all of her deaths, like all of her copies, and that would. I don't know how many times you can get brutally murdered without like
having that really, like, start to mess with your head.
Well, like, how many scenes has she been in this show that like she just gets just brutally murdered?
Just the part with the Lizard League was enough to ruin somebody.
Tons of people. What is it? Episode 5, season 1, where they're in the tower facing the tech. Oh, I forget the guy with the mechanical brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like in that scene, like Battle Beast just like outright destroying her copies left and right. Like, she's been in a lot of like moments where she just gets brutally murdered, and I'm like, that's terrifying.
Yeah,
just like a lot of us can't fathom one death,
right?
Let alone, yeah, at least hundreds. All right, let's get into the questions, and we'll finish up and wrap it up.
Okay,
finish up and wrap it. Okay, what is the best episode of this season?
The one that's going to stick with me the most is going to be, what was that, episode 5 with the Lizard League?
Oh, yep.
Yeah, that scene. Yeah.
With Rexplode?
Yep, that whole part where they're all just Kate getting eviscerated and Shrinking Ray gets eaten. Yep.
Yep.
That was hard to watch.
And then Kate just getting brutally murdered.
Oh yeah, like, over and over again.
As she's trying to multiply. Yeah, I wrote either mid-season
watching that part. Yep, that was hard.
I wrote either mid-season finale or the finale, and I didn't even think about episode 5 for like that moment and that like the brutality of it. I still think it's between the mid-season finale for me and the finale, and I think I give the finale an edge. But it almost seems like it is a tale of like two halves for the season.
Yeah. There's like the Guardian story, and then there's the Mark story.
Who is season 2 villain? Who's like the overarching villain? Who would you give it to?
That's tough. There's like, I mean, I guess like the overarching villain would be the Viltrumites, because they had like the most impact throughout the whole show or whole season, even though they didn't end up being like a main villain. Or like even a main threat that they fought. because all the other ones were pretty in and out. I mean, like the Sequids and even Angstrom. I mean, he was in the first episode and he was in the last episode.
I think Viltrumites, I mean, they're the overarching villain, like, for the whole show.
Yeah.
They're the overarching threats. Angstrom is just kind of like that, like, personal threat. He's like
so personal. The
Joker. He's like the Joker for Mark or the Green Goblin. Whereas like the Viltrumites, they're like dark side.
Yep. Like an invading force.
Yeah. And so like Angstrom Levy's like my favorite villain for the show, and this was like his arrival, his moment, and like this is like the scene that like I remember him mostly for. I'm just gonna leave it there. I was gonna say more, but like I do think Viltrumites would be a better villain, but really I think it's just I don't really know if there is an overwhelming arcing villain.
There's a lot of separate stories, a lot of hard struggles. I don't know. It's maybe PTSD. That's the overarching theme and villain of the whole season.
Very much. Just trying to come over PTSD. But like
everyone had lots of trauma that they were going through.
So much. Okay, let's get into the ratings. Okay. I got more questions too. More thoughts. But let's go ratings. What do you give this season?
Season? I mean, 4+.
4+.
Yeah.
I put 4.
Yeah.
It's not less than a 4, because I think it's great. It's great television. But it's not elite. I don't think it's season 1. I think season 1's like a 5.
Yeah. It's a season 2. You know, it's that midpoint kind of thing. It's building up more and stuff. It's leading into even more epicness.
I kind of went on a rant a little bit this morning. I like wrote it down. Season 2, I feel like could be a 4+, maybe even a 5- at some point. I feel like season 2 is the transformative season.
Yep.
Think season 2 of Game of Thrones, because season 1 is all about you have like the reality of season 1, right? And towards the end, that's when that reality broke. So season 2 was kind of with Omni-Man like being this villain, the dad being the villain, and just this earth-shattering moment for Invincible. And then season 2 starts with like them putting those pieces back together, them getting over it. And season 2 almost essentially is the start of a new story. Mm-hmm. It almost becomes a new show. It's like a season 1.2 in a way. And it's hard to judge. Just like Game of Thrones season 2, when it first came out, you didn't really look at that season as like, oh, this is like the best season. This is like one of the best seasons. You're like, oh no, it's season 1. Mm. Like the way that show, like the way that ended, like makes it the better season. Just like Invincible. Like that ending was amazing. The Omni-Man fight with Invincible was amazing. Mm. But I feel like in a few years from now, especially when we're like season 5, season 6, getting towards the end of the show, I have a feeling we're going to look back at season 2 and we're going to just be like, man, that was
peak.
That was almost perfect. Yep. Not peak. That was almost perfect. And that's kind of like how I feel about it. And I do say this knowing what comes next, but I also say it as like, I like the moments that happen in the season. It's just like, season 2 separately, I don't feel like it hits as hard, you know?
Yeah. But I think sandwich in between season 1 and season 3.
Yeah. But I think like individually alone, you know, like a piece of cheese isn't that great, but a piece of cheese on a sandwich like makes the sandwich, you know? And I feel like that's what season 2 is.
Yeah. I can see that.
I think it's a necessary part of a sandwich that's not good on its own. So I'm also just excited too.
Cheese is like still good on its own.
I know, but like I'm thinking like season craft two singles, is still, yeah.
And season two would still be good on its own. It's just not as good. It's not it, the sum of its parts is greater than
yeah.
The whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
So, yeah, I just the things that they carried in the season. This is like one of my favorite parts in the comics. It's like where it's just kind of the transformative. We get into the story like in season three, season four. Like we get more into like the overall arching, like what's to come. Before we talk about season three, we're going to do the thing that we're starting to do in all of these like Fresh Takes State of Reviews, and that's MVPs.
Yep.
Were you prepared for this?
I started thinking about it a little bit ago because I figured we
were going perfect. Yeah, we are. Who's the MVP of the season, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, the obvious one is Mark. I feel like that's yep. what we gave it to him last season too, if I remember correctly.
No, I don't think we talked about it.
I feel like we might
we have could, talked we, about
it. I remember.
We might. We could give season one MVP. I don't think we did it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
it's Mark, not Mark.
You don't think Mark is the MVP of season two? I mean, the next pick I
would No. For one,
yeah,
it's not Mark.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe we said Omni-Man.
There's only one MVP.
Yeah, I feel like I remember having a conversation about that.
We might have. I think you give it the... if you're going by, like, protagonist, it's Mark. But I think Omni-Man is just the character. Like, the character carried that story.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, just intensity... The performance by J.K. Simmons, like,
mm-hmm.
I give it to Omni-Man. So let's go to season two. Mark, I think anytime we do this, the main protagonist is always going to be in consideration.
Yeah.
You want me to cut in? Because I actually wrote out my whole thought process.
Okay. The only other person I can think of really that I feel like I would be like Rex going through
yeah.
more stuff. Otherwise I feel like, I don't know. I'm curious, I guess. What do you have to say?
Okay. So this is how my thought process was this morning when I made up this list. I was like MVP Mark, you know, that's the boring choice. That's the protagonist always is like in consideration. Like, is it Oliver the trauma baby for going through all the shit that he's been going through? Nah, probably not. You know, he really didn't do anything other than survive.
Yeah, exist.
Nolan, Omni-Man, Nolan, I'm like in consideration, but he didn't. What he did was essentially just turn around.
Yeah, right? All he's done is like really, he just like, had some mental breakthroughs, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
No action, which is really. Big.
Which is big. Great. Good for his character, but I'm like, I don't know if it's MVP level. I'm like, Alan really didn't do anything. I'm like, wait, no. It's got to be Rex. Because of his redemption arc, he actually got to do something. But I'm like, no, it doesn't feel right too. I'm like, it's Mark.
Yep.
It has to be Mark. For and then I'm like, Cecil's an honorable mention. And then I'm like, wait. Debbie deserves a lot more love, but it's probably Mark, which is lame. But here's the thing.
I mean, this whole season is very much about his story.
Yeah, his season was him becoming the better hero, him facing with the grim reality of if he doesn't get better, this planet's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone he knows and love is dead.
Yep.
And like it can very much end quickly in a moment's notice. He has to get better. And that's what the season became. Like he quit college. He quit his girlfriend Amber. He quit any sense of a normal life. He dealt with Viltrumite's head on. He's dealt with the turmoil of his dad and now Angstrom Levy. Like, yeah, I think it's Mark. My list is Mark 1, I would say Rex is 2, Debbie's 3, Cecil's 4, and Omni-Man's 5. But I honestly think the bottom 3 aren't really worthy, aren't even close, and I don't even think Rex is that close to Mark.
No, he's not. That's why I said that. I think that's why he's the only other person I feel like that really had some MVP-worthy moments this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is his season, and I think other characters, other big characters, are gonna have their MVP moments. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I have a lot of like honorable mentions, but I'm like, no, they don't deserve it this episode or this season. They don't deserve it. Like, I know how great they become. They don't deserve it here, later. So, all right, let's wrap this up with season three talks, and we can make this a bigger episode. But I just want your quick idea of what you think is to come, and we can kind of go through a list of the threats that remain.
I mean, I'm assuming Omni-Man's going to come back to Earth. That's kind of the big thing I think that's going to happen. I'm also kind of getting some vibes that Levi might not actually be dead.
Okay.
Otherwise, I mean, they tease that dude in the sarcophagus again, second time. So maybe that'll happen. We haven't seen the Sequids on Earth doing their thing since dude got taken over again.
One thing to note too, we didn't see the other dimensional aliens come back for the season.
Oh yeah,
just wanted to put that note.
The really fast time difference place.
Yes. So let's go through like the threats that remain, right? So we have the Sequids, like you mentioned. They are chilling on Earth. They are prepping their attack. We have potentially Angstrom Levy, at least like the fallout of his attack, right? Like his attack changed the world. And that's what I'm going to say. Like his attack will carry on the show, and we will see like more fallout to come.
Okay. In
unique, interesting ways. There is the big threat that you did not mention, which is the Vulture Mites, and the that Anissa mentioned. One will come.
That's true.
And part of me wants to like talk about it, and but it'd be a huge spoiler warning.
No,
I will say, okay, we won't do it. Other than that, threat comes. That's all I'm going to say. So season three, this is the way I see it. And I'm going to be very vague about this, so it's not spoiler. If you don't want to hear this, any spoilers whatsoever, you can exit now. Thank you for listening and have a pleasant day. Wait for us to talk about season three later on if we do.
Yeah, of course.
The next couple arcs that threat comes. And I believe for season three, there's three big arcs. This is my prediction. This is the I have comic book knowledge prediction. And I'm going to try to be as vague as possible. I believe we will see the next iteration and possible conclusion of the Sequids. I think that's for certain.
That seems fair.
I believe the title card of... I believe the title card that teased a possible costume change, I think that will come. There is one mention during episode 7 that I forgot to call out. Cecil called out to, what's his name? The evil dude that Ezra Miller got recasted. Sinclair.
Yep.
He mentioned like, hey, the Animen, are they ready? I believe that little quote, that thread line will be a thing in season three. If you know, you know. If you don't know, you don't know. And I believe the two big arcs is the Viltrumite threat and the comic book arc called Invincible War. And I will say this, Brandon.
Yes.
You're not ready. You're not ready for it.
Okay.
Because in the comics, it was like intense for a moment. But my God, if they do that intensity on the show, it's going to be horrifying. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited for season three. So there's a bunch of storylines that I'm looking forward to. there's other good character moments too. I think like they teased it a little bit in this episode with Oliver not getting a scratch on him.
Yep.
And they talk about like his potential powers. I believe in season three, he becomes a character rather than just a baby. Like, I think he becomes a character in season three.
Okay.
So yeah, yeah, he ages, he becomes a character. He becomes a person you can talk to. I'm going to leave it at that without spoiling more, but yeah, I believe that's what's to come in season three.
Okay.
Now the real question is when,
right? When will this happen?
And they said in episode 7, they said it. They asked, when is season 3 coming out? And they're like, well, animation takes forever, maybe in another year.
Yep.
So we have confirmation. Invincible season 3 is coming out in 2025. I hope so.
I don't want to wait longer than that.
Yeah. So yeah, Brandon, any more thoughts on Invincible?
There's one more little thing that happened in the finale that I thought was interesting, and I don't know if it actually did anything, but when he is, after everything happens to Levi, and he's kind of dealing with his trauma, he's like flying around Earth, and he starts flying like so fast that it almost looks like he like
starts
to go through another dimension or travels through time or something like that. Like, it kind of reminded me of like Superman turning back time by flying around the Earth so fast.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think that they're going quite that route, but it was kind of interesting to see like that moment where like it reminded me of like the Flash going through time.
Okay.
Like hitting the Speed Force kind of thing.
Yeah. I didn't get that moment. The way I interpreted that moment was he's trying his hardest to go as fast as he can because he's training.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I got to. I don't think he was like trying to do anything. I'm just saying that he was moving so fast that it almost looked like maybe he did.
Yeah, I didn't get that, and I don't think that's what they were going for.
Yeah, so that tells me that I'm wrong.
I don't know. We will see.
Okay.
We will see. Any more thoughts, Brandon?
Nope, I think that was my last point I wanted to make.
Beautiful. Well, Thank you, Brandon, for joining me on this Invincible adventure. Thank you for everybody for listening. We are an Invincible show. We will be talking everything Invincible as it comes along. Fortunately, we will have to wait till 2025. And hopefully it just stays 2025. No more strikes, no more pandemics, hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
See. It's probably World War III that's going to ruin it, but whatever. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.
Thank you.